Thanks for listening to this Word in Your Ear podcast. If you'd like to get early access to all our productions ad-free, priority booking for our live events, and to take part in our weekly quiz, go to patreon.com/wordinyourear for more details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to a podcast from The Word.
I've got a Christmas stack waddy game if you're in the mood. Are you in the mood, boys?
Yeah, go on.
Absolutely.
Far away.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Christmas records. Okay. One of these did not exist.
No, that's exactly what I've prepared. One of the same ones. So go on. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Here we go. Are you ready? The Proclaimers. Christmas in Fife. Christmas at Ground Zero by Weird Al Yankovic. Cherry Cherry Christmas by Neil Diamond. Christmas Blues by Canned Heat. And Kissing by the Mistletoe by Aretha Franklin.
Ooh.
One of those.
Ooh. God, I'd hope it was Weird Al Yankovic, because that seems an extraordinarily bad taste. The rest seem completely plausible. I'm sure the Proclaimers one existed. Go on, Alex. What do you think?
You know, I'd be inclined to swing towards Weird Al as well. Christmas at Ground Zero seems a bit dark for Weird Al Yankovic to me. So.
Well, you'd both be wrong, because Christmas at Ground Zero by Weird Al Yankovic is a genuine thing. It obviously predates
9/11. Oh.
But anyway, it is.
That's the little ringer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And the one that I completely made up is Christmas in Fife by the Proclaimers. Okay. So I win.
So plausible.
I win. Okay.
You win the card. I've got it almost exactly the same, actually. I've got six Christmas singles. And again, five of them genuine releases, though possibly not colossal hits. And one is a fiction cunningly cooked up by me. Spot the Ringer. Okay? Number one, okay. I Want an Alien for Christmas by the Fountains of Wayne. Okay, that's number one. Number two is Deck the Halls with Buddy Holly by Half Man, Half Biscuit. Yeah. Don't Shoot Me, Santa by The Killers. Little Drum Machine Boy by Beck. Leroy the Redneck Reindeer by the country singer Joe Diffie. And Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, Ain't No Chimneys in the Projects. There they are. Do you want them again, or can you remember
Chimneys
them?
In the Projects. That's brilliant.
Yes.
Oh.
It's I Want an Alien for Christmas, Deck the Halls with Buddy Holly, Don't Shoot Me, Santa, Little Drum Machine Boy, Leroy the Redneck Reindeer, and Ain't No Chimneys in the Projects.
I'm gonna choose. I'm gonna go for the Buddy Holly, the Half Man, Half Biscuit.
All right, Magic. What do you think?
I'm gonna go for Beck, Little Drum Machine Boy. I reckon that's a ringer.
Okay. No, God, I've been rumbled. That's terrible. Sharon Jones is true, as is obviously the country singer. Little Drum Machine Boy, true as well.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Don't Shoot Me, Santa was a killer's hit in 2007. The Fountains of Wayne song, big hit, non-hit in 1997. The one I made up, of course, was Deck the Halls with Buddy Holly by Half Man, Half Biscuit. So, Dave.
So I'm winning this week. I'm winning.
You've absolutely romped.
Nailing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all day, Dave.
So, boys, this morning I caught the very strange George Harrison My Sweet Lord video.
Oh, YouTube, God.
Which is, I have to say, one of the most inexplicable things I've ever seen in all my years of pop picking. I've never seen anything like it. It appears to be an attempt on the part of Danny Harrison to keep father's legacy alive. You know, we talked to Eamon Ford about this, didn't we, a while back? Eamon published a very good book, Leaving the Building, which is about rock and roll estates and, you know, people who manage the estates of dead rock stars. And they made the point that it's something they have to do proactively. You know what I mean? They have to keep doing stuff all the time in order to try and reach a different demographic, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that's the only possible explanation I can come up with for this, which is just a load of people that you kind of half recognize, you know, from Saturday Night Live or whatever, mooching around a cinema in Hollywood while George Harrison's My Sweet Lord plays.
There's no logic to it at all, is there? I mean, I recognise Ringo Starr, obviously, and Joe Walsh, Olivia Harrison, Darnie
Weird Harris. Al Yankovic.
Weird Al Yankovic again, exactly. And Jeff, I think, Lynn. Mark Hamill is Jeff Lynne.
Mark Hamill.
Beyond that, they're kind of American TV stars that we don't normally recognise instantly, and it has absolutely no logic. There's no meaning to any of it. It's got nothing to do with the sentiment of the song, which is a lovely spiritual sentiment. It's just a load of people looking for something which they don't find. Oh, yeah. It's rotten. It's a shocker, isn't it?
Well, it is rotten. Go on, Alex.
I'm in the middle of watching an infinite number of TV shows and films about the multiverse, and you know that make absolutely no sense at all. So for me, it was like catnip. I saw Mark Hamill and Taika Waititi and decided, oh, I like this automatically. That was it. That was me gone. I'm a simple soul. What can I say? I'm a complete mug. So I kind of liked it. But I can see why you don't.
The credits at the end of it are longer than the credits on Lawrence of Arabia. It's unbelievable how many people were involved in this thing. How much lunch was had in the course of making this film.
You get the impression that Darnie Harrison, who's the kind of, and bless him, a splendid fellow, you know, who's the kind of exec producer, I think, isn't he? Has had the idea, and everyone's gone, great, of course, a 50th anniversary celebration of My Sweet Lord. What could be a better idea done by his own son? But no one's got the heart to say, this isn't really working, you know.
And also, 50th anniversary, it's 51st, really, right now, because that came out at the end of 1970.
Oh, right, it did, didn't it? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it was number one sort of Christmas.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Go on.
Apart from this question. When you see Ringo, is the first thought that immediately pops into your head, he looks well?
He did. I mean, he's 80, isn't he, Ringo?
He is. He's 80 years old. And he appears to be reverse aging somehow.
He's 81, actually.
He's wearing it incredibly well. He is turning a little bit into his Stevie Ricks impersonation counterpart.
He is.
The first thing that I think...
He very rarely says anything more than peace and love.
No, peace and love. Peace Thomas and Percy were shunting in the yard with peace and love.
That was one of the last pleasing things we've seen on YouTube. The most pleasing thing we've seen on the YouTube in the last week is somebody posted a wonderful clip from the Christmas porridge from, I don't know when.
1975. Oh, it's fantastic. 1975.
And the bit that they posted, I must have watched it 20 times. And it's just a short bit. It's Ronnie Barker in the prison hospital being visited by Mr. Mackay. Mr. Mackay is trying to find out where they put the soil when they dug their way, or they attempted to dig their way out of Slade Prison. It's got a fantastic gag at the end of it, which I won't spoil. But the two of them are such masters of comic acting. And it's not just Ronnie Barker, it's Finley. Is it Finley Curry? Isn't it Finley Curry?
He's fantastic.
Absolutely. He's just unbelievable. I've gone on about this a lot in the last year or so. Whenever I catch Fawlty Towers, which I do quite regularly, the thing that gets me, the thing that impresses me, is not John Cleese and Andrew Sachs and Prunella Scales. It's the standard of all the, you know, Bernard Cribbins and Joan Sandson,
yeah,
all
these incredible,
wonderful British comic actors coming through it. And this is a bit of a similar case.
If you watch the person who isn't speaking when the other one's speaking, just what they do and what they radiate and the little nuances of their reactions.
It's just brilliant. I cannot urge you too strongly to have a look at this clip, Will.
Well, the whole episode is amazing. I just watched it the other day, and it's the one where Tommy Slocum is digging a tunnel, and they've put together a choir to sing carols to drown out the noise of the tunneling. It's so funny. As you say, Fletcher is trying to pretend that he's got a bad knee so he can get to the infirmary. And so many good gags. The bit where he goes in to see the doctor, and the doctor says, "You're the perfect specimen of manhood, Fletcher." So there's nothing wrong with his knee. And he says, "It's not that that I've come about. It's me knee." Which is just great. And Barraclough's bicycle is stolen. And he says, "Let me get this clear. So you arrived at work this morning as a cyclist and you'll be leaving as a pedestrian." And they throw in gags for no reason at all, just really clever little gags. The doctor at one point opens a file to get out the file of about Fletcher. And he takes out a Christmas cake just so that Fletcher can say, "Wow, I said, a cake in a file. Usually the other way around in prisons." Terribly good.
The thing that gets me about that scene in the hospital where Mr. Mackay has come from drinks in the governor's office.
Yeah.
And I think nothing distinguishes a great actor more than the ability to convey subtle gradations of drunkenness.
Yeah.
You or I, you know, this character is drunk. You'd think you'd just go into one mode, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, whereas there are layers.
Real layers.
Yeah.
And he's come from, he's had a couple of sherries or whatever in the governor's office. He's been given a bottle of scotch and so forth. And he's glowing. He is in that level of intoxication that is often described as lit.
You know, lit up like a Christmas tree.
Just lit up.
Lit up like a roulette. Yeah, exactly.
And he keeps going to check the door of the ward that nobody's listening, nobody's eavesdropping on the door. He can't quite sort out his feet properly. You know what I mean? It's as if he's in danger. He's going to trip up because he's slightly plastered. God, he's brilliant.
He's genius.
The two of them are absolutely brilliant.
The quantity of gags is a really, really good gag every kind of 20 seconds, isn't there? I mean, how they could have written it that well. It's brilliant.
On the subject of drunk acting, I've got a little bit of experience of this because in the Small Faces musical, the guy that played Chris, who played older Steve Marriott, would get progressively more drunk as the show went on. And when I went to see it, for the first time, I was I actually wondered whether he was getting drunk backstage. And I asked him how he did it. And apparently what he did over a period of kind of, you know, a few weeks, he'd get, he'd have different numbers of drinks and film himself to catch all of his nuance, kind of how he moved, how his speech changed, how his facial features contorted differently after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drinks.
Good grief.
Went really, really deeply into it. But he absolutely had kind of each particular level of intoxication completely nailed almost by rote. So I thought it was really interesting.
Maybe you probably have to go that deep into it to be that good, don't you? And this is a Small Faces musical. We're starting early here.
Yeah.
That's great.
The Word Podcast. Fix yourself a drink and it's like being in the pub.
So the other thing we were discussing this week was rock memoirs we would like to read.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was
I.e. rock memoirs that will probably never get written or never get published, but we would like to read them.
Well, that was initiated, wasn't it? But we were talking about how good John Cooper Clarke's one was, which is absolutely brilliant, came out this year. And also that, you know, P.P. Arnold and Vashti Bunyan and various people are putting some out next year that we were looking forward to reading. And it struck me that the best memoirs are by very funny, observant, clever and affectionate people who have no axe to grind. They're not settling any scores. They're just telling the story and telling you what they learned from it and putting you in their position so you can live their life. You know, Donald Fagen's Eminent Hipsters, really good example. That's a fantastic book, isn't it? About a life on the road. And Viv Albertine's amazing book about punk rock, which I think is brilliant.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'd like to read Alison Moyet's memoir. She's never written
one.
She's a card, isn't she? That'd be a rollicking tale.
It would.
Ian Anderson, Jethro Tull, surely, although crippled by the notion that you know that he deserves more acclaim. He's had a fantastic story. He's a very bright and very funny guy. Randy Newman.
Somebody else suggested that there ought to be a book about Jethro Tull written about everybody in the band, written by everybody in the band except Ian Anderson.
Oh, except for Ian Anderson. That's great.
That might be an interesting.
That's really good.
Interesting perspective.
It would.
About 25 people. He's been the one ever present.
I think Randy Newman would be brilliant. Randy, really fun.
Well, that's clearly never going to happen.
Nick Lowe, I mean, there's a great biography by Will Burcham of Nick Lowe, but Nick Lowe's own version telling those stories would be incredible. He's a phenomenal storyteller.
Nick Lowe would be.
Robert Plant still hasn't done his autobiography, but I imagine he would be very wary about, he'd probably be rather reserved. Noel Gallagher.
He will never do it. Robert
Plant, never will.
He will never do it.
And sadly, Noel Joni Mitchell, which is kind of, that's just not going to happen now because that's a fantastic story. But Noel Gallagher would be hilarious, I think. But the one I'm really looking forward to, and we must mention some of the ones because you tweeted about this, but it was Neil Tennant. Because Neil Tennant, I've even got a title for it, Dave. Au contraire. Is what Neil always used to say whenever he wanted to disagree with you. Au contraire! And he'd tell you something. He is so funny. Everything in his life. Again, somebody doesn't feel out, have a chip on his shoulder, had a great deal of success, had a wonderful time. You know, that life in Newcastle when he was in the youth theatre. I'd love to read about that. The kind of folk band he was in. He interviewed Alex Harvey and Mark Bolan for a pop magazine when he was a teenager. You know, the whole time he was working in publishing at Marvel and doing the Dairy Book of Home Management.
Absolutely. I mean,
he's just absolutely. And
Betty Foster dressmaking course.
What's that?
The Betty Foster dressmaking
course. Betty Foster, exactly. I can remember him telling us about the Olympic ceremony. They were at the parade and the closing ceremony and just how funny that was. All the kind of cast of smash hits 1980 down the corridor. Annie Lennox in one room, Madness in the next, and him and Chris in the one. It's just so funny. So he'd be really good. But various people tweeted about it, didn't they? Various of the massive. Jane Asher, somebody suggested.
lots of people have said, Jane Asher, that's clearly never going to happen. And which
and
is
a good
shame,
thing. Really. That
it, Abraham, I suppose.
Yeah.
No point upsetting people, really, after all this time. I've got Nick Lowe down.
People are king. Yeah.
Tim Rice, part two of Tim Rice's book, which he hasn't written yet, because his first book, which is fantastic, is just up to the kind of early success.
Yeah,
and not about the later stuff. John Paul Jones.
That's
John Paul Jones, because really interesting career. Really interesting career, that kind of came
hit
from
singles in 1962, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Tony Meehan and all that
came from a kind of showbiz family, didn't he?
Yeah,
and he can remember going. This is what link John Paul Jones is to A Vanished World. Back in the 40s, 50s, and early 60s, musicians in London wanting work would go once a week to Archer Street in Soho, where the Musicians Union office was, which is where they get paid for last week's jobs. And they would all just stand about, exchanging gossip and trying to find out where the next gigs were. And I think John Paul Jones got his first gig by going down to Archer Street and talking to Jet Harris, formerly of the Shadows, and getting a job in Jet Harris's touring band. Well, he's a real, wow. I love that kind of stuff.
I do.
That's
too.
A real link with The Vanished World. And he's done all sorts of things. Clearly, he's never going to write it, but I've been really interested. I'll tell you, somebody just struck me. We'll probably have no axe to grind. We'll probably be really good. Ray Cooper.
Oh, Ray Cooper, yes.
Ray Cooper, everybody's favourite percussionist.
Yeah, we wrote a great piece about him at Q, with him with everybody he's ever played with.
Yeah.
Incredibly flamboyant, could never miss him at the back there, could he, with the big old sticks and the congas, And the headline was, who are those people up there with Ray?
Elton
John, Eric Clapton or whatever,
He just that's has a good story. Nick of getting on with people.
Yeah.
Another one that's never going to happen, which is sort of a shame, Petula Clark.
That'd be good.
Child star.
Yeah.
In the 1940s.
She was a star.
Still with
12,
us now.
Wasn't she, I think?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And, hit records in America in the 60s, at the same time as the Beatles and so forth. I'm a sucker. I want to read drummers' memoirs. I want to read Jim Keltner's memoirs. Jim Keltner played with absolutely everybody. And I've been really
drummers have got a good perspective on everything, and they're not particularly competitive. They're sitting there observing it all. Taking it
so
all.
So has Ringo Starr written a book?
I don't think he has. No,
I don't think he has. It's a good. It'd be a good story. Good story that is. Claire Grogan hasn't written.
I thought of Claire Grogan. She'd be very good. She's so funny about, being back on 80s package tours.
Yeah.
Tweeting all the time as well, because she's touring with sort of supporting, Altered Images are supporting the Human League, aren't they? Every night she tweets that there's four girls in the band and one bloke, and there's these fantastic pictures of them in the dressing room and at sound checks. And, absolutely full of beans.
Definitely. I tell you, somebody who hasn't written a book and clearly isn't going to, Jackson Browne.
Oh, right. Why wouldn't he?
Well, he hasn't. Because you would have thought if he was going to do it,
he would have done it by now. Yeah.
Because I think he's got a story or two.
Yeah.
He was Nico's partner, wasn't he? He was about 16 years old.
That's right. Oh, the romantic, the love life of Jackson Browne is a standard.
Absolutely.
Oh, my Lord.
Absolutely. Have you heard, is it Bruce Springsteen does the installing Jackson Browne as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame speech? I think he does. And it's really interesting. Because it's all basically about one thing, which is, why does Jackson Browne get so many women? I thought this is pretty damn rich coming from Bruce Springsteen.
Absolutely.
that Bruce Springsteen envies Jackson Browne for having a kind of magnetic appeal to women.
But he's the crumpeteer's crumpeteer, I think, isn't he?
He is the crumpeteer's crumpeteer. Yeah, so those are mine. Who would you like to read, Alex? So what rock memoir would you like to read that you never will read, probably?
Well, you've covered Ringo and Noel. Yeah.
Noel would be so funny, wouldn't he? I mean, it's going to happen at some stage. My God, he's hilarious.
I like to read Liam's just to see what words he knows. But Jack White, I'd be interested to read Jack White's biography. Yeah, there's so much, there's still so much kind of mystery and intrigue around the White Stripes and their whole kind of formation and inner workings.
Neil Tennant on Dustin Springfield. Neil Tennant on Liza Minnelli, I'd love to read.
Yeah.
I remember him telling us once that they'd met, he and Chris had met Liza Minnelli, and how she linked arms with the two of them as she walked across the street, and she said, "Now we're best friends, let's do everything together." And that was just wonderful. You want that kind of stuff.
This is a junction in the Word podcast. It separates that bit from this next bit.
Any other business we have to cover?
Was Hunky Dory's 50th anniversary.
Oh, Hunky Dory's 50, yeah, came out just the week before, so 2 weeks before Christmas in 1971. How high did it chart, Alex?
Hunky Dory?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Somewhere between 50 and 1 is my... Can I do that? Can I...
Didn't...
Do you want to...
The truth is it didn't chart at all.
Really? What? Why?
Well, you see, well, that didn't take off till Ziggy Stardust took off. Then it
didn't
was
take off. They reissued these things post Ziggy Stardust. They did the same thing with Man Who Sold the World, didn't they? And another one. And
did not know that. I cannot imagine a world where David Bowie doesn't chart.
No,
I mean,
but no, but you see, that's the mad illusion that people have succumbed to. You know, there are lots of David Bowie records that didn't chart. You know, early ones, obviously. Later ones, barely. You know what I mean? Long period where David Bowie's putting out albums that nobody wanted at all. But you know, he had some that were big hits. What was that? What was the last number one he had? Let's Dance.
Let's Dance. Yeah, oh, probably. Isn't it?
Yeah.
You kind of forget that around the time of Hunky Dory, he wasn't that well known, was he? I mean, he was writing.
But he was a one-hit wonder.
As a working songwriter, hoping that people, he demoed them and tried to get other people to cover them, didn't he?
He was a one-hit wonder, and nobody knew what to do with him. Space Oddity had been a hit in '69, and then it's kind of nothing had happened subsequently. The only thing he had was that people in the industry believed in him, such as Tony DeVries, his manager. And interestingly, I think it's "Oh, You Pretty Thing," is it? Or is it "Changes"? "Changes," the single from Hunky Dory, was Tony Blackburn's record of the week in the days when that meant something.
Absolutely.
And it still wasn't a hit. You know, so it wasn't that he didn't have support. He did.
RCA, they had that marketing campaign, which is amazing. I think I'm right in saying they said he was the most singular, they marketed him as the most singularly gifted artist creating music today.
That's in America.
To the 70s, what Lennon, McCartney, Jagger, and Dylan were to the 60s. Weirdly, kind of prophetically true, but don't you think that's an extraordinarily high risk tactic to take?
Well, that's in the States. They didn't do that here.
But all the same, if you do that, people tend to just look for evidence of disappointment and they run the other way.
And also, the thing you have to bear in mind when you look back at 1971 is there were so many fantastic records.
Yeah.
You know, people weren't scratching around for anything to buy, you know. So that 50 years ago. Have you got a picture disc there?
I've got a picture disc. I was just digging through the attic and I found this. There it is. Can you see it? Yeah, it's a picture disc single. Rather good, actually. Life on Mars. And the B-side is Man Who Sold the World. There it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Any other business, Alex?
We have some new patrons.
Go on.
Oh, good.
Go on.
I get my whistle.
Put your whistle, yeah.
Bring them aboard.
Okay, here we go. We have Howie Dodds.
Good man. Welcome, Howie. Splendid.
Kevin Goodfellow.
Hurrah. It's becoming a dog whistle, Dave. It's almost inaudible now.
It's what happens is the mic cuts out, I think.
Is that what it is?
We can feel it, though.
Yeah,
we can.
Muscle.
Okay.
Mark Stevens.
Excellent. Welcome, Mark.
And two annual patrons. If you subscribe annually, you get a 15% discount. This is a...
Ooh. And you get the birthday special.
Well, that's if you subscribe to the top tier. That's Drew Allen. Chris McGainey.
Very good.
Welcome,
extremely welcome.
Welcome all.
Should we also mention our Patreon-only Boxing Day Zoom
yes,
event?
Yes, we should.
We should. We don't know what time we're doing. Probably 6 o'clock on Boxing Day, isn't it?
Yeah, we'd like you to turn up with a party hat at 6 o'clock on Boxing Day and play our world-famous game called Has He Been Yet? Okay. Where basically... We go through the members of the Massive and we ask the question, has he been yet? And they then display one item, one present that he brought that day. Okay. And it helps if you're slightly pissed. Okay.
Best if you're a little bit lit up and have a paper hat at a jaunty tilt.
At a jaunty tilt. So that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
It is.
Hurrah.
This podcast was brought to you by The Word.